Simon! He shoots, he scores! Oh. One for one!
That is going wild! Score!
The hockey guys are on the air.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
The hockey guys. The tradition continues.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Good morning, hockey fans. We have to start off the morning the Hams way. Good morning, Jeff Bradall. We're full today. Eddie Christian's on vacation, so what do we have? No, I should say Eddie's out recruiting. Excuse me. We had a younger version of him, a wiser, a smarter version, Jordy Christian.
I think I good replaced morning. Him, right?
Yeah,
he's
you
listening
did.
For sure.
You did replace him.
Thank
you're
you.
Way better looking than your dad.
I would agree
Plus
with that.
Plus your teeth, they're all there.
They're
Let me
all
see
there.
Smile. Hey, you don't look like your dad. We have Thor Nelson from Minot, a 20-year veteran of the National Hockey League, officiating. Good morning, Thor.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And we have a pro from the Jay Thomas Show. The pro among us.
Use that term loosely now.
Ronnie Lee.
Thank you. Thank you. It's an absolute honor to be on the show. I must say I'm a bit of an aficionado. You know, I do like the sport. I can't skate. You know, if you described me skating, it'd be like a bowling ball on wet cement. But I could think about was when you were telling me this sure. morning you were having an NHL referee on, all I could think of was the Hanson brothers when they're just in the beginning of the ref skates up to him, I'm going to be watching you. And they just says, I'm trying to listen to the song.
Well, I tell you what, Thor, you took a beating playing or refereeing for those 20 years. We have a clip. We have that up there, Big Spencer. Jost in the studio. Here we go.
Second period. Kyle Brodziak. He and the linesman get their skates tangled. Thor Nelson went down pretty hard. Strudwick with it now. Throws it towards the net. That hit Zach Stortini. Pozo takes a hit from Stortini. Gets away from him. He goes cross-size for Blake Como. Como flips it in. Hit Thor Nelson with that. So that's been a rough couple of... seconds for
Thor. I've never heard you swear before. Yeah. What's going on? Do you guys swear at the players out there?
No, that's somebody dubbed that in.
Why would they do that?
And thanks for that. I appreciate
well,
it.
Well, if I got booed by 20,000 people, I wouldn't be happy either.
I was more concerned with the fact that the rink's 100 feet wide and I'm 3 feet wide and he hit me and couldn't get it in the end zone.
That was Brodziak, wasn't it?
No, it was Blake Como.
Oh,
we actually
yeah.
laugh about it to this day. And what you don't hear is him yelling at me because they opened up a mic as I started talking right above my head. And luckily it caught everything. And as I was explaining 2 days before
that. Was he as
that,
nice as you to you as you were to him?
No, there was a few more choice words out of his mouth. I was rather reserved. But... I had 2 days prior to that, I had spoken at a character counts assembly at a middle school. So there's a few dads in Minot that have that as their ringtone on their phone now when I call.
Well, this first period of the Hockey Guys is brought to you by Federated Insurance. As a mutual insurance company, they believe their value is measured by the success of their clients. Federated, helping to protect businesses and your company. Thank you, Federated Insurance. Call it Insulation. Thank you very much. And Began Strinden Vision, thank you very much also. Listen, 701-271-1100. 271-1100. Here's your chance to ask a NHL coach or NHL referee 20 years. Also Olympics, too?
Two Olympics, yeah. I had the honor of being chosen to work in Torino in 2006 and in Vancouver in 2010.
And the NHL All-Star Game?
Yeah, 2004. That was a good time. My boys were little, so I still blame Dwayne Rollison. He let my kid strap his gear on in the Wild locker room that weekend.
That's all it takes, one time.
one time, and then I never got him out of the net. So it was, 2006 was a good time. Obviously, my first Olympics, and I was chosen to work the gold medal game, so... that was an honor. And then 2010, I actually brought my whole family to Vancouver, so the kids got to experience the Olympics. And what a great experience for them, the great memories. And I think from Vancouver, quite possibly the best part was that my kids sat in the NHL suite, and my older son, when he got done and I just worked Finland, Sweden, and I said, what do you think? He goes, Dad, when you sit up in the NHL suite, you can have all the free pop you want.
Life's pretty simple for
the, yeah, women, you know. Hey, were the women prettier up there? That's what I would want to know.
He doesn't know. He got free Sprite all night, so he was in La La Land.
Well, I tell you what, it's a great show, and if you have any questions that you would like to ask Thor, give us a call, 271-1100. Quickly, last night, North Dakota, a winner over Miami, 6-2. St. Cloud, Colorado College, 2-1. St. Cloud snuck that out.
Yeah. You know,
Jordy's old team, St. Cloud Huskies.
I think.
You know how they cheer for the Husky cheerleaders? Husky cheerleaders.
I thought it was Husky women, but we'll say the cheerleaders. But I was telling Spence.
They're not all Husky there.
I was telling Spence this morning, you know who's overlooked this morning for UND? Because he's 6-2 game, right?
Right.
Adam Scheel played a great game. He made two saves in the second in that 5-2 game. A breakaway and then a 2-on-1. I thought he played really, really well in key moments. Even though the game, if you look at the score sheet, 6-2, I thought Scheel was really good last night.
Well, that tells you how the NCHC, the top league in the country, I'll put any money on it anybody wants, at least this year, right? You take the bottom seed in the NCHC, giving it to the number one seed in the country. You know, the 6-2 score doesn't say really behind the lines what the game was. It was very, very competitive. We also have Northern Michigan 4-3 over Bowling Green. Bowling Green was one of those teams that
bubble.
We said were on the bubble to get in. Minnesota State 3-0 over Ferris State. That's predictable. Lake Superior victory. You look out east, Canisius 5-2 over RIT. Robert Morris 3-2 over Niagara. So we're getting into the playoffs. The second period of today's show, which starts at about 8:30, we'll have Adam Wooden, the columnist for College Hockey America, to discuss, debate, fight over who are the Sweet 16 teams going into the college playoffs. Our third period, which starts at about 8:45, we'll have Josh Fenton, the commissioner of the NCHC, talking about the playoffs for the first time out of the state of Minnesota in Grand Forks and how that's going. So if you have any questions, here's the thing I want to talk about. I mentioned this before the show. Watched a couple press conferences last night. You can, here's how it goes. Ready? Hey, coach, what do you think of the game? Well, it was a hard-fought game. We got to give credit to the opponents. You know, it's playoffs. It's one and done. You know, coach, how do you think our team played? Well, we prepared all year for this. You know, you could take that face of that coach and the jersey or the logo on his shirt, put Doug Woog on it. You could put any coach in the country on it. It's the same baloney coming out of those coaches' mouths. You know, they don't want to overcommit, you know. You know, they don't want to really say what it's like. So, Spence, you got some typewriter music? I'm going to set the scene. We got about 2 minutes. All right. The Danbury Double Ds played last night. Beat the Troy Trojans 5-2. And I'm the head coach of the Troy Trojans coming into the press conference. Let me drink my Hams beer first. All right, press, do you have any questions?
Well, coach, you know, good win tonight. How did the boys play?
You know, that's a good question, Jordy. I'll tell you what, it's the first time our young team played the Double Ds. We have a very young team made up of some teenagers, and they did a lot of watching. A lot of watching, standing around watching the Double Ds go up and down the ice. And they were Double Ds were very, very impressive. And tell you what, we took 20 penalties for holding. We only have 16 guys on the team, so Jordy, figure that out. We got to get more mature when we play the Double Ds the next time around.
Coach, how does it? What do you think going forward? How does your playoff season look?
Well, you know, we got to get the boys used to mature type play when we're playing the Double Ds, and you know, next week we're playing Regina, Thor, and Regina's going to be a tough team like the Double Ds. We got to be mature. We can't be watching. We got to be skating. We got to be active, and got to be patient.
Coach Ronnie Lee, Hockey America, you know, you had a lot of boys in the sin bin in the second period. I don't know if you can really win a lot of games, but you were able to eke one out with that many penalty minutes. Talk a little bit about that.
Now, there's no doubt. The only doubt to doubt about is the doubt. You know, you can have a young team of teenagers, young bushy-tailed teenagers watching the double Ds go up and down the ice. You know, they were impressive, very impressive. They stuck together as a good unit. Offensive zone, defensive zone. I'll tell you what, again, those 20 holding penalties killed us, especially when we only have 16 guys on the ice. Any more questions? I got to go watch the Regina tape for next weekend's game. Now, that's how press conferences should be. Hey, we have a caller, Todd. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, guys. I got a couple questions for Thor.
All right, Thor. Go ahead,
I'm here.
Okay, so, and these relate to player safety and well-being. How long do you think it is before the NHL will enact an automatic 2 or 5 minute penalty for any contact to the head?
Well, that's, you know, the player safety is always looking at those situations, and player safety is their first priority. On the flip side, they always have to worry
about 30 seconds.
They are an entertainment business, so they have to kind of weigh both sides of it and make sure that it's still a product that everybody wants to see.
Any stick contact to the head's automatic, 2 or 4. I don't understand it. The other thing I don't understand is why they're still fighting in the game. Fighting in the game today, to me, would be like fighting in NASCAR with these helmets and face shields on.
Yeah, there's fighting in the game, but they do get penalties for it, so it still is illegal.
We'll be back to the hockey guys right after this. You guys, this is a segment where we actually shake for breakfast, boys. Hey, I got 3 2s. Ronnie, you're up next.
All right.
Adam, are you in for breakfast this morning? I tell you what, your credit card will work up here.
I didn't see the 3 2s. Did you see, Thor? I didn't see any. Jeff just shook it really quick and then said, I got 3 2s and handed it off.
Hey.
How'd you guys know I was a Twister fan?
Well, our guest this segment is Adam. And we're going to pronounce it Wodan. Is that right? Or how do you pronounce your last name, Adam?
Wodan.
Wodan from College Hockey News. Thank you for joining us this morning. I read your article about teams that were kind of on the bubble that may be in the hockey Sweet 16. And I said, man, we got to get Adam on and we have to debate him because we've been talking about this subject over the last couple weeks. Adam, who do you see if the out of the 16, the top four teams, well, five teams from the leagues, four teams, who do you see going in the top five or four?
Well, you guys have nothing to worry about, so as far as North Dakota's concerned.
Whoa, Adam.
Hey, we got to be careful here because Jordy Christian, he was a four-time letter winner at St. Cloud.
I don't like that tone right now.
Sorry.
I think we should be okay, right?
No,
Adam?
You're good.
I think we should still be
okay.
And
we got two Gopher fans here tonight. They're the guys that have the tight pants on because they can. Because that's us, UND, and the WCHA guys got to wear little baggier pants, you know. So you used to see North Dakota, right?
Well, none of you guys should have any worries, so let's put it that way. I think Minnesota is certainly a lock. North Dakota I've got as number one overall. I don't know how much that matters this year or not, but they'll be a number one seed for sure. I think Minnesota should be a number one seed. And then St. Cloud, you know, they're clearly – I have them in, I think, sixth or something like that, but so that makes them like a two seed somewhere. You know, this year the committee is going to, we have no idea really what they're going to do, but most likely they're going to do a lot of a bigger east-west split than they normally do. And so I expect to see all these western schools all packed together in one of the regionals out there. The two western regionals this year are Fargo and Loveland, Colorado. So you know, expect you. I mean, North Dakota obviously will be in Fargo, but the other two guys, who knows? I think there's always, you know, you guys tell me, but there's always a mixed opinion whether Minnesota wants to be in the same regional as North Dakota or not.
Yeah. You know, Minnesota has a really good team, and it's funny. And we watch those, and Doug Woog is a real good friend of the show, coached Jordy, and we have Doug on quite a few times throughout the season. But Lou Nanny made a comment a week ago, and I don't know if you caught this, Adam, but he said Minnesota is a better road team than they are a home team because they can't keep up with the faster teams on the Olympic ice. Now, where would you ever hear Lou Nanny say that the Gophers are a slow team? That's kind of a sin, you know. But I say Wisconsin comes out of the Big Ten as the number one seed. That's my view.
Well, I mean, that's certainly possible, too. But, I mean, you know, this year it's so hard to tell. I mean, usually you have the math to go by, which, you know, whether you agree with it or not, tells you definitively one way or the other. Wisconsin's made a run, but I mean, if you look at the math that does exist, Minnesota's record is actually still better than Wisconsin's.
Correct.
The Big Ten did some pretty goofy math in order to determine Wisconsin was the regular season champ. So now Wisconsin did beat them 3 out of 4. So I mean, honestly though, I don't know if it really matters one way or another. When I was putting my brackets together, I had, in order to have 9 Western schools and 7 Eastern schools, you have to send one of the Western ones east. So I had Wisconsin doing that as a number one seed in Albany just to kind of balance things out. So, I mean, I don't know if the committee's going to do it that way, but that's what I would do. But, you know, both teams had a great season. I trust Minnesota's a little bit more only because this is new for Wisconsin right now and that group. But, you know, who knows? It's splitting hairs between the two of them. I mean, I don't know if I would agree with Lou Nanny necessarily. You know, God forbid, I guess I should say that. He's the legend. But, you know, the teams that they lost to at home, I mean, Notre Dame beat them twice. And Notre Dame is not exactly a fast team. So I don't think that's necessarily the reason. And then, two of the other losses were to Wisconsin. But I think every team has been struggling at home. I mean, you look at Notre Dame's home record, it's terrible. In the Big Ten anyway, there's been a bunch of teams like that. And I don't know if that's just because the lack of fans has made things weird, but all the coaches have been talking about it in the Big Ten this year.
Adam, we're going to cross over a little bit, but we're all fans of all college hockey here. So is there going to be, you look at the women's bracket that was announced and you looked at the Minnesota Gopher fans that lost their brains, but do you foresee any scenarios that we are going to be majorly surprised by potentially on the men's side where one of our locked teams potentially gets sent home?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question given what happened with the women. I mean, I know everyone's looking at that and it did scare everybody, you know, but it is a different makeup. I think there's more scrutiny on the men's committee, so I'm not sure anything that weird will happen. But I think the one caveat that we don't know is, like I just said, I tend to have 9 West and 7 East, but if the committee says we need it to be 8 and 8 so that, you know, one less team has to fly or something like that because of COVID reasons, I mean, usually there's transparency because the pairwise shows you 1 through 16. If the committee deviates from that, all hell would break loose. So they never do. This year they can say anything. You know, they can say, oh, no, we had 8 teams from the East in our criteria, you know, and no one would ever know. So if that happens, then it would bump a Western school, which I think basically what happened in the women's draw. I can't admit to following it as closely as the men's, but I mean, from my understanding, that's what happened. It's like they tried so hard to balance it that it wound up bumping Minnesota out. But I think the 3 teams that we've talked about here so far are pretty safe. The one school I think that would be in danger in that scenario might be like a Michigan or even Duluth, I mean, which would be crazy. But I don't foresee that happening. I mean, to me, both of those schools are third in their respective conferences, and I think it would be insane if they didn't take 3 from the Big Ten and the NCHC at least. So so then you're looking at the 4th, and the 4th from there is like Omaha and Notre Dame, which, you know, you can make a case for either way. So I don't think there's going to be as crazy a surprise. But there might be a team disappointed at the bottom, and they're, you know, where like some small school from the East gets another bid from that conference as opposed to like a fourth from the bigger conferences.
Yeah, I sense that the committee is going to go 8 in the East and 8 in the West. I think for political reasons, with really not having the full schedule and the pairwise not being there, that I sense that's what they're going to do, just for optics.
Yeah.
And but I look at a team like Bemidji, and they've played one of the toughest schedules this season, and Saratori has always had that team cranking going into the playoffs. And you know, I think they're on the bubble, and they're maybe not even on the bubble. They may be out. And I look at Omaha.
Yeah.
You know, they played UND 8 games after the Christmas break when they went out of the bubble in Omaha. Man, they played North Dakota every game competitive. And, you know, they lost, but they won the last game. But the scores were really tight. Shots were equal. And, you know, Mike Gabinet, their head coach, is a darn good coach. And that's a great team. And I would just like to see, you know, I know it won't happen, but take those four teams on the bubble. Take Omaha. Take Bemidji. Put in Michigan and put in Notre Dame and do a one-game playoff and say you two guys, the winners, they go on. But that would be a hell of a hockey game.
Why not? Been a crazy year, might as well.
Yeah.
If they, you know, with Clarkson's season being canceled, it opens up a slot. If they go 9-7, they can get all those teams you just mentioned in there, I mean, without an issue. You know, you mentioned the big one we hadn't gotten to yet, so I appreciate you bringing it up, is that Bemidji State. I mean, I have Bemidji State as the second best team in that conference, Minnesota State, of course, being the first. But if you look closely, Bowling Green is the other one. They lost last night in their playoff game.
They got a big game tonight.
Three series, though.
Bowling Green's got to probably
best of three.
Win tonight, or else
absolutely. They absolutely have to win. But I mean, I think Bemidji's already ahead of them. If you look at the records on the surface, it looks like, wow, Bowling Green's got 19 wins. Well, two of those wins are against Division III schools, so those are automatically out the window. And then their schedule strength was just so, you know, weak, really, relative to the Midgies, who has, you know, clearly the toughest schedule of anyone in the league. And they did well with it, going 2-3-1 against Minnesota State. And really, you know, like you said, I mean, Tom Saratori does a great job. So to me, I don't know if I want to use the word travesty, but I just fear that the committee will not look deep enough at the numbers that they have available to them. And, you know, yeah, Bowling Green's got 19 wins. Well, God, they got to be in. Well, if you really look at it, to me, Bemidji should be in. But, like I said, both of them could get in. If they decide to do 9-7, so I mean, that remains to be seen. But that, I think that would, that might knock out Omaha. So it might come down to Omaha and one of those two schools being the last team in.
Well, Adam, we'll continue to read and monitor and watch college hockey news. Want to thank you for joining the Hockey Guys this morning, and we're definitely going to get you back on our show. We're a college hockey freak, just like you. So. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Yep, you got it. Take care.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. Well, the playoffs are coming. A couple weeks away. What's going to happen with the picking of the team? What's going to happen with COVID? Any other teams going to be dropping out? Three teams already have. Clarkson, Holy Cross, and those are two of the three. Well, we will be back to the Hockey Guys right after this. Talk about pressure. Commissioner Josh Fenton, you've been under the COVID pressure all season, and tell you what, NCHC has fought that off, except for Denver of late. Congratulations, being able to put together a successful season under the circumstances.
Yeah, thanks for the nice words there, and nice to join you guys this morning.
Well, thank you. We got Jordy Christian. We got Thor Nelson, 20-year, I don't know if you met Thor, 20-year referee in the National Hockey League. And we got Ronnie Lee from the Jay Thomas Show. So they all got questions they want to pepper with you. So So bring it on, right?
House there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
All right, Jordy, Christian, you take off. Jordy played 4 years at St. Cloud. He's much better looking than his dad, Eddie. He's got all of his teeth. So go ahead, Jordy.
He played at the school up north. So we'll, Commissioner, I want to reiterate, I mean, I think the NCHC this year did just a bang-up job when you look at only two games, right, we didn't play that were scheduled. I think that was outstanding.
Jordy, it was too bad. You know, nobody's fault in these times, certainly. But we were two games away from playing the entire schedule. And the two games that got pushed off the schedule came the last week, actually, 2 Mondays ago is when it happened. And, you know, I thought we were going to make it because we only had four games left to go. And unfortunately, two of those games had to be pushed off. But, you know, we were successful in creating a schedule model that had flexibility because we had COVID issues. There's no doubt we had COVID issues in January, even a little bit into February. But the model had flexibility in it where we could move games around, and it kept all the games on the schedule. And so it was too bad we didn't get all 96 was the number, but we played 94. So we're happy with that, certainly.
Hey, Commissioner Ronnie Lee, first of all, congratulations on putting together the best conference in all of college hockey. And I'm not biased or anything, but...
we're all not biased on that one, right?
Right, absolutely. But the question I would have is, you know, I understand that it happened under the guise of COVID, and you know, we were able to pull the tournament away from the land of rocks and cows over there. What's the chances of us now keeping that tournament here?
Well, we're committed to going back to kind of our traditional model, which is best of three in the quarterfinal round, and then a frozen face-off that features semifinals and championship. And as our membership has said to me, and I've said to them, you know, we want to be in one of the best venues in the National Hockey League, Xcel Energy Center. We think it's a great experience in St. Paul. We think players love to come down and play in that venue, and it's kind of a prize at the end of the season. Don't get me wrong, our experience, certainly while we've been in Grand Forks and will continue to be in Grand Forks, has been excellent. And I think it's been a unique and fun thing for everybody involved, including the players. But ultimately, our membership believes that our tournament's best position, kind of how we had it in the past, which concludes in Xcel Energy Center in St. Paul. So that's where I expect us to be next year and even beyond.
How has the atmosphere been thus far up in Grand Forks at the Ralph with the limited fans that are allowed? But there are, 4,000 fans allowed?
Just about 3,000. So for the North Dakota-Miami game last night, we had just under 3,000. We had sold pretty much 3,000 tickets. But that's we won't go above 3,000. And the atmosphere in the venue was excellent. One of the unique things that I think about this event is we've got a decent amount of teams that haven't really played in front of any fans. You know, CC and Denver have come up here, and Omaha obviously have come up here to play games against North Dakota. And so they've experienced a little bit of the fans, and Omaha's had some fans. But for Duluth and St. Cloud and Miami and Western Michigan, other than maybe having, you know, a handful of parents for each kid, they've really not played in front of any fans. And so I think, like, for Miami last night, I'm sure that was a unique experience. And I thought the atmosphere in the venue was pretty good. And I will tell you, I think the atmosphere around the city is excellent as well. I mean, I think the CVB, Visit Grand Forks, has done a great job just kind of welcoming us. And, you know, there's balloons in hotels and signage in hotels. There was signage at the airport. And so, you know, it's just been great, and the city's really embraced the event, and we really appreciated that.
Well, Thor had some complaints about officiating, and he wanted Schmitty on instead of the commissioner.
I was going to say, just go call Mike Schmidt. All the complaints go to Mike Schmidt.
I think Schmitty's seen his grandkids this weekend. He has priorities straight. So, Mr. Fenton, I wanted not so much a question, but a commendation. The part that people don't see that what you're conference does, you know, your officiating staff, obviously they all have other careers. This is not their job, and people don't see the work that goes into bringing in guys that can't get away for a whole week, but they give up a week of their life to go to the bubble, and they the travel schedule, the changes due to COVID, guys coming in last minute. So I want to commend the NCHC for getting those games on the schedule, making sure they happened, and working with all of the unknowns to get those games played and get the crews in a timely fashion. I know that was a very large task for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, the pod in Omaha was obviously something really unique, and we felt like it was the only thing that was going to allow us to start the season successfully. And to be honest with you guys, we can go all the way back to the first question about the number of games we played. If we don't start the season in the pod, we don't have that number of games played at the end of the year. So that's number one. Related to the officials, Thor, you're exactly right. Yeah, we decided that this is how we were going to start the season. And I was working obviously closely with our membership and ADs, and everybody felt like it was a good idea. And I knew we were going to have to get officials there. If we're going to have hockey games, we've got to have officials there. But I will tell you, I didn't spend a ton of time on it. And you know, as I knew it was coming together and I knew it was probably going to happen, you know, I had to call Don Adam, our director of officials, and say, hey, listen, this is probably going to happen. Start working on getting guys to Omaha. And, you know, the commitment that all of those guys made, Thor, to be in Omaha, and there were a handful of them that were there for the entire 3 weeks. I think we had three referees that were there for 3 weeks. We had multiple people that were there for 2 weeks. And you're right, they all have families at home. Most have other jobs. And so they love to officiate. They love to be a part of the game. We pay them, but they don't get rich off of officiating college hockey, I can tell you that. And they do it because they love it. They're committed to our conference, and you know, I'm just really appreciative of them. And it kind of goes back, same thing for this event. We're not obviously here as long, but you know, we're here for almost upwards of a week, and so guys have to make some sacrifices, spend some time away from their families and their jobs, and so really appreciate what they do, because obviously without them, we're not having games.
Commissioner, I always throw you a curveball here. I'm going to throw you one now. We had Adam Wooden sure. from College Hockey News on prior to visiting with you, and we went through a projection on the Sweet 16 playoff teams for college hockey, and want to visit about the NCHC. And, you know, the two obvious teams, North Dakota and St. Cloud, you know, finishing the regular season, they're definitely in that mix for getting in there. But you look at some teams that are on the bubble, and I just go back to even last night's scores with St. Cloud and Colorado College, 2-1. You look at North Dakota playing Miami, the last seed, right? What, 6-2, how competitive they are? And with the top league in the country, how are we going to get more than three teams coming out of the NCHC? Get that fourth, maybe fifth team if we can.
Well, certainly I believe in our conference, and this isn't against any other conference or any other team. I think we've proven year after year that the competitiveness of this conference is at the highest end. And I think it really shows up in a unique way. So the last four national championships obviously have come from our conference, and I think that speaks to the battle-testedness, so to speak, that they go through in a regular season and obviously a postseason, to have then a team standing at the end. No other conference has come close in terms of the number of national championships. And so certainly I know luck's got to be on your side to win that tournament, and we've had a little bit of luck, I guess, to do that. But I think it just speaks to the competitiveness of the conference, and I think it's the same thing this year. It's a very unique year, and we had to create a very unique schedule. That's not, you know, necessarily our fault or anybody's fault. It just is what it is, and we had to do it for health and safety reasons and try to minimize travel. So we don't have the same kind of general balance in the schedule that we normally would have. For instance, Omaha, who I think is a pretty darn good hockey team, has had to play North Dakota six times. And I think North Dakota is number one in the country. I think they're very, very good. But Omaha, along with Denver, along with CC, has had to play North Dakota a little bit more. And so I don't think, you know, whatever those results are, I don't think anybody should be punished for that. And so, listen, guys, I believe that we're four teams in the tournament. I think we're that deep, that we're that strong. You know, we'll see what the committee does in a week or so's time here. But I think we're at least four teams, and that's kind of where our numbers have been in years past. And I think it'll prove to be the case this year. But you know, we've got another week or so to see what they do. What did Adam have? Four or five NCHC teams in his top 16.
You know, he had actually Wisconsin or Minnesota number one coming out of the Big Ten. Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and Michigan. And he had North Dakota, St. Cloud, and Duluth. And, you know, I take a look at Nebraska, Omaha, like you do. They're a darn good team. He sensed that Minnesota State and Bowling Green until they lost last night, and then there's a great game tonight that Bowling Green's going to have to win. Bemidji State could come out. Those two teams come out of the WCHA. So, I, you know, the issue comes down to whether they're going to take eight teams from the East and eight teams from the West. And my sense is if it's a committee made up of presidents and really non-hockey guys, so to speak, Commissioner, that's going to happen. But if
So I can tell you how the committee's made up. It's three coaches. And you have a representative from each conference. Three of those representatives are coaches, head coaches. And three of those representatives are athletic administrators, ADs or associate ADs. So the chair of the committee is a guy by the name of Mike Kemp. Mike Kemp's the associate AD at Omaha. He's our representative on the committee, obviously former head coach at Omaha. Yeah, exactly. So we feel great about obviously having Mike in that position. And he, not that he's going to be overly biased, but he can't. But I think he will run a very solid process, and he will force the committee to look at all the variables that need to be looked at as they make those selections.
Yeah, it's going
to. I think too. You know, Jeff, we're forgetting there's some hockey games left to be played with Omaha and Western Michigan. You know, the NCHC's calling card for years has been anybody can beat anybody. You look at Western goes on a run, they get the auto bid from the NCHC. Or Omaha goes on a run, they get the auto bid. And now you're at, again, the same question. Is it four or five?
Yeah, you know? I think it's a great point. I was gonna say that about Western Michigan. Arguably one of the hottest teams in the country. I would say probably top five-ish hot team in the country is Western Michigan. I think their record over the last 12 is something like 8-3-1. They swept Duluth. They swept St. Cloud in Lawson out in Kalamazoo. I think as you guys watch this hockey game tonight with Western Michigan and Duluth, I think you're going to be pretty impressed with this Western Michigan hockey team. Andy Murray's such a great coach. He always has his team ready to play. Tactically, they're very good. And so you're right. And that's why, guys, I come back to, I think it's a number of four-ish. I suppose I could make the argument for five, but I don't know that's realistic. But I think that's why the NCHC should be right around four.
Yeah, let's cross our fingers here. Commissioner Fenton, thank you. I've been pestering you, and I know you've been busy bringing trophies all over the country here in the NCHC and doing work. We thank you for joining us this morning on the Hockey Guys. Thank you. Let's get four teams, if not five. We want to put pressure on you.
Well, if you guys can help me with that, I'll certainly take it.
All right. Josh Fenton, the commissioner of the NCHC, thank you very much. Well, listen, we're going to come back for the overtime period of the Hockey Guys. 271-1100, 271-1100. Want to thank Federated Insurance, Collin Insulation, and Began Strinden Vision. We'll be back with the Hockey Guys. Give me a bucket. What in the world is that song? And you got Spencer the Goon in the audience.
First video behind ever.
On MTV.
On MTV, first, the Bungles.
Yeah, video killed the radio star.
My wife would be proud right now because she was an MTV fanatic.
You could have went with something a little more hockey, like some Elvis Costello or something, you know.
Yeah, I had to do it. It's either that or some like some wintertime stuff.
Right. Well, you've been a little sad back there, Spence. We're not talking Gophers much.
you know what? We can take a week off. You know, we just got to rest, come back strong. And you
oh,
know.
You mean like the Gopher basketball team did? Took a week off.
The Gophers are kind of flying under the radar right now.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about them very much.
That's good because we, Minnesota, the story of Minnesota is we don't do well when we're ranked or anything. Just kind of throw us in there, and before you know, we'll be in the Frozen Four, hopefully.
Unless you have to play Holy Cross.
You know what, Mike? You know?
Hey.
You're next. Get out.
Right now in the back of Spencer's mind, he's just hearing Herb Brooks, one game, boys. One game.
Exactly. Hey, Spence, you got to just, before the show ends, we got to play the Holy Cross. Minnesota.
You know what? I think they took that off the internet.
No, I'm sorry, man.
They took it off the internet.
You got to find the Holy Cross announcers, and we'll end the show with that.
I'll see what I can do.
Please, please. Right. You know, the Gophers are probably running around, meaning the state of 10,000 lakes, trying to find 10,000 rinks that are the smallest, find the smallest one so they can play in it, according to Lou Nanny. You think... Would Lou have ever said that 15 years ago, Thor?
No, I still don't believe Lou said that now because the Gophers are pretty
fast. Like my video to start this show, I think someone dubbed that over Lou's talking points.
Well, Ronnie, what do you think of you're a rookie here now. We got to nickname you the rookie.
I was just going to say, I'm wondering what
Was the rookie sound good for... Ronnie?
He didn't perform like a rookie. He was a wily veteran.
He's a professional.
I'm wondering what the hazing ritual is. I'm a little nervous. If all it is buying breakfast, I'm good with that.
And drinking Ham's beer and shaking dice.
You don't have to ever turn my arm to drink Ham's beer, I'll tell you that right now.
Well, that's we're going to get them as a sponsor yet, I'm telling you. Got that, Spence? All right.
Takes over. Pushes it up ahead to McGregor. Holy Cross coming down with a 3-on-2. McGregor from the right side, centering feet. Oh, oh my God! Yes! Oh, score! Tyler McGregor! Yes! Yes! Tyler McGregor, off of the rebound, puts it past Kelly Riggs, and Holy Cross has knocked off the Minnesota Golden Gophers!
No, keep going. They got, we believe in miracles.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
We're not going home yet, baby! Just 53 seconds into overtime! And the Holy Cross Crusaders are mobbing Tyler McGregor and Tony Quesada!
It's the second chance, it's the second effort, and it goes in!
Do you believe in miracles?
Yes!
Just drive the dagger right in the back at the end.
But you know what? How can you not love college hockey in March? Oh. And you think of the COVID year, and you look, I mean, at the Ralph last night, wherever, whatever jersey you're wearing, even the rookies wearing a good jersey today, how can you not love college hockey in March?
Yeah, after 2020, I would have said the first thing of the first goal last night at UNE, I would have stood up and said the same thing. Oh, my God! You know?
Yeah, and I tell you what, you look at Holy Cross and the Gophers, but you come teams coming out of the Atlantic Conference, 3 out of the last 5 years, knocked off the number one seed in college hockey mm-hmm. in the first round. Air Force beating your team.
Yeah, we won't. I'm going to kind of be quiet for a little bit. I feel like Spencer.
Yeah, your brother Bryant, who played for AIC, he had you on that one. What'd you have to do? Wash his clothes, fix his bed, rub his feet? What'd you have to do?
He owes me a lot through the years, so we kind of, it was an offset bet. I forgave all the old bets.
And will we have some excitement when the West Regionals are here in Fargo again, like a couple of years ago when the pane of glass got shattered and we were delayed for a while, and then it was epic after that? Probably not the outcome UND wanted, but, you know.
I sure hope so. I love the West Region, especially here when it's played at the Shields Arena. Just a perfect size rink to just engage. It's like the old Ralph Engelstad Arena where the fans are pulling back on the glass back and forth. And
back in the days when they used to throw live golf or dead golfers on the ice, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, rookie, we're getting the chicken guy on here pretty soon.
All right.
And he doesn't want to have his name said, but he's the chicken guy who threw the live chicken out on the ice in Grand Forks against the Gophers. The chicken guy coming up in a few weeks. Thank you for listening to the Hockey Guys. For the Hockey Nuts, Thor, Jordy, Ronnie, this is Bradall.